do you remember the heady days of Prophet of Kruphix being legal in Commander? Prophet of Kruphix was 3 blue-green for a 2/3 creature human wizard with untap all creatures and lands you control during each other player's untap step, and you may cast creature spells as though they had flash. Back in those days, a player with at least blue-green on their commander's color identity could land this card and effectively take a turn on each of their opponent's end steps. You essentially got to take an extra turn on each opponent's turn, multiplying your power for each other player in the game. Flashing in creatures on each end step, untapping all your dorks, refilling your hand with all the powerful options that Simic has to offer. The rules committee eventually banned the Prophet as it became so ubiquitous that games became all about stealing, cloning, or at least removing Prophet of Kruphix as soon as it came down. The power of taking advantage of your opponent's turns was a powerful lesson to take away from that, but there are ways to take it even further than Prophet of Kruphix allowed on its surface. Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format which sits at one extreme with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are equally powerful in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how people are using the most powerful cards available. And this time, we're talking about how to use your opponent's game actions to your advantage. We're going to cover game actions again here very briefly with a quick refresher. Fundamentally, you can take 3 meaningful game actions in Magic. Moving a card from one zone to another, like drawing a card, casting a creature, or destroying an artifact. Or you can modify the quality of another potential game action, like putting a +1/+1 or -1/-1 counter on a creature, scrying the top card of your library to the bottom, or blocking an incoming attacker. Finally, you can attempt to modify the clock on a win condition, attacking an opponent to lower their life total, or giving a player poison counters, or attempting to use a card with a win the game clause on it. We did an entire episode on the action economy, which you can learn more about if you're interested. But let's try to apply this idea with a simple example. One opponent has cast Stony Silence, an enchantment which costs 1 and a white and reads, "Activated abilities of artifacts can't be activated." That player has spent 2 mana and a card from their hand to turn every mana rock on the battlefield into so many useless pieces of cardboard. If each of their opponents had 2 mana rocks, that is 1 game action for casting Stony Silence and 6 additional game actions to disable each of those mana rocks. Now another opponent decides to cast Reclamation Sage to destroy the Stony Silence. That opponent has spent 3 mana and a card from their hand to destroy the enchantment. That's 1 game action to get a creature into play, 1 in destroying the Stony Silence, and 6 additional game actions to allow all those mana rocks to be able to tap for mana again. Let's consider that scenario again. When player 2 casts Reclamation Sage to destroy Stony Silence, they regain access to 2 of their mana rocks, which otherwise they would not have had access to at the start of the turn. But both player 3 and player 4 have also regained access to their 2 mana rocks, and neither of them has spent a single mana, and neither of them has spent a single card from their hand. If you're in player 3's seat, you just watched this exchange happen. The net effect is that player 1 tapped 2 mana and discarded a card and then passed, while player 2 played a 2/1 creature for 3 mana and then passed. Those are not very impactful turns in our format, are they? This is the key to take away here. The first question you ask yourself about game actions is, who benefits? When the decision to take a game action is one that is purely beneficial to you or is purely harmful to a single opponent, it's fairly obvious. If you cast a Mirari's Wake to double your mana and give all of your creatures +1/+1, that's a pretty easy net benefit for you to calculate. Just as it's pretty easy to see that destroying an opponent's Mirari's Wake is a simple subtraction from their game plan. But when you start to look at cards which impact multiple players more directly, it can be tricky to decide who's getting the most benefit from you taking a particular game action. Try to decide if you are being hurt less by an effect than your opponents may be, and if you are, try to use it to your advantage. Let's look again at that Stony Silence example, only this time, player 2 doesn't have any mana rocks, while players 3 and players 4 both have 3 mana rocks. Player 2 is taking the game action to play Reclamation Sage, and that becomes a much more questionable decision when Stony Silence is doing nothing to directly harm them, and is only slowing down their opponents. We talked about this a little bit in our episode about seating order and table rules, where we discussed strategies you can use to pass the buck on to other opponents. And this could be a scenario where player 2 really does want the Stony Silence gone. Maybe they're planning to play out a card like Birthing Pod in the next few turns, and they will need to make sure Stony Silence is off the board by then. But they may be able to get further ahead if both players 3 and 4 are feeling more pressured to remove Stony Silence. They're the ones who are losing 3 mana each until Stony Silence is removed from the board. If player 2 is feeling canny, they can develop their board and set up for their eventual plan to cast their Birthing Pod, then pass to player 3, knowing that either player 3 or player 4 will need to commit the resources to remove Stony Silence sooner rather than later. That leads us to our next question. When is the best time to act? Part of the reason that instant speed effects are so good in Commander is that you can wait until the last possible moment to take a game action. Going back to that original example with Stony Silence, where players 2, 3, and 4 are all losing access to 2 mana rocks each, let's now look at it from player 4's perspective instead of player 2. If your answer for that Stony Silence isn't a Reclamation Sage, but is instead a Nature's Claim, a 1 mana green instant which destroys an artifact or enchantment, and then gives the controller of that artifact or enchantment 4 life for their trouble, that's an instant speed effect, and it allows them to act after other players have already gone, potentially during someone else's end step. You can wait to remove Stony Silence whenever you want, whenever it is the most beneficial to you. And player 4 can wait until the end of player 3's turn, after they and player 2 have both gone through their main phases down 2 mana, before player 4 chooses to remove the Stony Silence. Player 4 gets to be the first player to untap with all of their mana, and they're only down 1 card. In this case, it's almost like they got the benefits of Stony Silence for 2 of their opponent's turns, only lost 1 card in doing so, and that card only cost 1 mana instead of 2. The final question to ask is probably the most difficult one to answer. What can my opponents do that benefits me? It's actually a scenario which we see very commonly at even the most casual of tables. One player gets very far ahead and becomes the archenemy, with each of their 3 opponents teaming up to try to knock them down. If most players are attempting to win the game through combat damage, each player who attacks the archenemy is facilitating the game plan of the other 2 players they're working with. In this case, each of the 3 non-archenemy players needs the other 2 players to help punch damage through to stop the archenemy before the game is lost. But it also ties into some of the questions which we were asking back at the beginning. Who benefits? If you are on a Rakdos deck and you have very few ways to remove enchantments, you may be depending on your opponents who are playing decks which include green and white to remove enchantments like Stony Silence. This isn't necessarily an overt game night's wheeling and dealing type politicking to trade, don't attack me for 3 turns in exchange for cast Nature's Claim to destroy the Stony Silence. But it might mean that the Rakdos deck spends a creature removal spell to get rid of the big flying threat which has the Selesnya player on the clock. The math here is, if the Selesnya player dies, there is no way for me to get out from under the Stony Silence this game. That's when you have to ask yourself if the Stony Silence is a bigger threat to your game plan than the continued participation of the Selesnya player is. Much of the politicking that you see at CDH tables is closer to that group discussion of threat assessment. One player points out that a player is making moves that seem like a setup for a win condition. The 3 players talk about who has the interaction to stop it. They'll often ask things like, how many cards does everyone have in hand? If they're trying to be cautious, or sometimes they'll be more direct and ask, does anyone have a way to get rid of that enchantment, or can anyone counter that spell if they do have what they need to go for it in their hand? If you get really good at this, you can almost seem like you're seeing into the future. Player 1 casts Stony Silence and passes. Sitting in the player's seat, you want Stony Silence gone, but you also identify that player 3 is the one who is hurt most by it. You can sit there and wait to see if player 3 has the interaction to spend on removing the Stony Silence on their turn for you. And if they don't, remove it at the end of player 3's end step and continue right along with your game plan. Or you could decide that the net negative to your opponents from Stony Silence is just more beneficial to you than the hit to your own game plan is, and decide that it should just stay on the field. In that case, it's almost like you cast Stony Silence without spending a single mana or card from your hand. This can all get confusing pretty quickly, and there are no concrete correct answers. This is a game of hidden information after all. Player 2 casting a Reclamation Sage to destroy Stony Silence may not have known that Player 4 was already sandbagging a Nature's Claim. but slowing down to ask a few basic questions before you spend your interaction can lead to some phenomenal results. How about you? Do you have any favorite examples where you've sandbagged until an opponent's dealt with the problem for you, or where you rode to victory on the back of another opponent's Dax piece? Leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. Add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG, or send us an email, where we are GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.